This is working session of the board on November 15th, 2021 at 5:18 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we'd like to excuse Mr. or President Blake. He's not here today, and so we'll excuse him, and then we'll just start right in with Lyle.
As you know, this policy has been out for a couple of months now for discussion, and it has been one that we've received quite a bit of input on. Michelle from the transportation office was here too, because she's interested in it. She would be mainly one of the people that will be involved with making sure that we follow the policy. Without going into lots of discussion, most of the changes that were made were really just trying to be for clarification and trying to make sure that the policy was clear. It was an old policy. There was a lot of room for improvement with respect to the clarification of the language itself. The issue that remains and will be helpful for discussion in this meeting was sent out earlier to the board, and it's is it okay to address both policies at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. Student overnight activities, I think we've pretty much settled in on how that what that's going to look like, making sure that chaperones are trained and they're qualified. There's at least two chaperones per bus, that they have responsibilities specific to making sure that they're available 24 hours a day when those activities are ongoing, and that they report inappropriate conduct and so forth. And it also just reemphasizes what has always been in place, and that's that overnight travel is for grades 8 through 12. The one that we've had some additional conversation or some discussion on has been the student activities transportation policy 7020. And that is making, again, focused on supervision. Most of these changes are in an effort to clarify who's responsible for supervision and who would qualify and so forth. So we've included some definitions. We included the definition of an activity trip. That had been changed a little bit, but essentially an activity trip is everything but to and from school transportation. That seemed to be the easiest definition to go into. We also discuss in here more detail about what volunteer supervisor, their qualification requirements, references back to our volunteer policy. And then we get into the responsibilities of the advisor, and we've entered a whole new section with respect to responsibilities of students, and really got down to the fact that students need to be respectful on the bus and remain seated, and so they can have a safe transportation. And then with respect to what would we do in the event students they don't conduct themselves appropriately, they'd be subject to the response or to the discipline policies that are already spelled out for student transportation. Okay, that gets us down to what do we do in terms of activity trips. There were two options on here. Did everybody have a chance to take a look at those? Option B was really just a simple one, just saying, hey, you don't have to have two people on a bus. Just that simple, all the time, except for a situation where we're using non-bus travel like a suburban. Option A really tries to get down to the nitty-gritty about where would it be appropriate to only have one bus or one supervisor on a bus. And the option that's currently before you, 3-3-4, becomes the exception, and that's grades 8 through 12, activity trips within the boundaries of the school district. And then we put on a more specific, we talked about nighttime travel. I remember that conversation came up here with the board. What happens when students are out after dark? And so it was hard to say after dark because in June, after dark is different than it is now. And that was a changing thing. Member Dunn brought that to my attention. I was like, yeah, that isn't going to work. There's no way. That'll be all over the board. So we settled on, what about time before 6 p.m.? And then in that circumstance where the activity trip is within the boundaries of the district and it occurs prior to 6 p.m., then they could be supervised with one adult instructor, coach, or activity advisor on the bus. We had quite a discussion about this earlier today and are comfortable with saying, hey, listen, if they're within the boundaries of the school district, the time frame is kind of confusing because in some circumstances, as these students go from a game, they're going to be coming back and there will only be a few students on the bus, and felt the a proposal, the superintendent can speak to this, that we would have just keeping that one trips within the boundaries and remove from that restriction a time frame. So that's the discussion we've had as administrators. And I'll just open it up for discussion.
So, obviously we've had a policy, and that's recreating a brand new policy. The reasons why we're changing, I mean, it's basically because we're having some issues. It seems like the issues are at night, right? And the issues might be because of the 1D advisors. Mm-hmm. So, are we basically just addressing that, or are we kind of just looking at the whole thing to rewrite the entire policy?
There's a lot of it that's not changing, that's just staying
right
back.
It's just the same policy.
Travel. One of the questions was, when you have to travel during the day, like pretty well all of the activity or field trips, whether it's elementary or secondary, are going to be during the day. It's really extracurricular activities, sports, probably more than anything else. And the reason that we're saying you take out the time, when you're traveling within district, other than Cedar, that's why we say within the district, then when you go to these ball games, there are more students that will get on the bus, and that's usually during school hours or shortly thereafter, almost always light, and they go to those games. But after the game, guess how many travel back on the bus? Mm-hmm. You can probably count on one hand the number of kids that are on almost any of those buses when they come back, because they all ride home with parents. So it seems perfectly manageable that you could have one advisor on that bus. There still has to be one advisor, but that's the only time. When they get outside the district, you get those longer trips home, longer nights, more kids ride the buses back home. Those have to have two advisors, and we talk about the placement of those advisors on the bus to make sure that students are safe and that their supervision is appropriate. So that's the reason that we discuss that instead of like whether it's 6 o'clock or otherwise. It is simply if it's in district, you can cover that. When you go out of district, which includes one region team only, Cedar, that could be longer, more kids ride the bus, too. Okay? So that's the clarification. We feel comfortable with that. We arrived at that today.
As the policy,
most of the policy doesn't change. It's just related
right
to those two things.
So does the policy address, okay, so when we're thinking about out-of-district travel on a bus, we're talking about 50-ish people, right? And does the policy...
It varies.
Okay.
Yeah.
On a bus, I'm just thinking if the bus is full.
You take football teams.
But what about like... a trip where you're using a Suburban or something where you're just taking maybe 8 kids, does the policy address that as far as...
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. One supervisor. There was a lot of discussion about that, and because we put on here the responsibility is to make sure that those supervisors are placed in a location where they have maximum visual oversight. What it does is, I mean, And the idea was, is would you really want to have somebody in the back of the Suburban and somebody in the front of the Suburban? The idea is, no, both supervisors want to be up front, and it didn't really contribute much more. It felt like it was one supervisor was sufficient for the use of the Suburban.
Quite often when you do that, you'll end up with two Suburbans. That's not very often. It's just one. So you'll have one adult driver with one adult driver with the other, and you end up with two supervisors still, say it's overnight, or those type of things anyway.
Because you don't have, I mean, we don't want our bus drivers supervising. Have to be focused on the driving. And our drivers do too, but in a Suburban it's more manageable. It's really just all about the manageability.
That's right. It's such a small number when you're just right there with them.
And in the Suburban, we don't count a bus driver as the driver.
No,
it's just
there's two other
supervisor drivers.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
And policy clearly delineates that the bus driver isn't allowed to supervise. That's
right.
not in there.
We feel good about this one. This seemed to cover better than some of you guys' concerns about the time and dark and different things. But
to me, placement of a supervisor is essential.
It's very critical.
Because
and we're very
they're usually both in the front and side, and you got
probably running towards when they're both in front. You could even, rarely if they're both in the back of the buses there, that type of concern. But even if they were to sit in the middle of the bus so that they can see and visibly go, that's fine. Just don't both be in front of the bus.
So if they placed the supervisor, if you've got your bus driver, and I know that they are supposed to be involved, but if you put the supervisor in the back of the bus, they can see all.
If it's a big bus, we need two people if it's a
lot. Well, I'm talking about if it's in the day
short
and it's a single person on the bus.
Different.
I was just clarifying for me because I heard two different things. You said within district, and then you were counting Cedar City. Is Cedar City,
that's not in district. Okay. That's within the region.
Right.
But not within our district.
Okay, that's different.
And that would require two every time.
Okay.
So, Lyle, as I thought about the two different options that were laid out and then this change that we just talked about now, the option two of always having two, it seems simple that is the standard across the board. There's no... hey, well, we're kind of in district, or hey, we're going to Cedar, it's close, it's within our region, there's no confusion, because that's the rule always. I also, with that option, like the idea that it gives protection to the students, but also to that advisor, because there's two people there on the bus at all times, so that if something does happen, it's not one person's word against somebody else's, there's two adults, plus all those kids. Like Larry was saying, sometimes there's only five kids on the bus coming home. And I thought, well, two for me seems a little bit better that there are just two adults supervising on the bus. So,
well, that was why that was placed in there, is because it seems as though really it's two adult supervisors on a bus always.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought, when would that be an exception? And the exceptions came up with in-district because it's so close. A lot of parents will go within the district, so kids are going home using other forms of transportation with their parents, and then it's that return trip that we have to find two people to be on the bus for something that could occur just across town in many cases.
Yeah. We can tell you that the elementary, Nate, rarely, with the kids and a larger number of kids on the bus, there's always two that are going to be on those trips. We do know that. But the only time would be after a game, when very few kids ride the bus, and you're talking, it could be anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes maximum,
But who makes that call?
For a kind of, could be a little bit longer.
Well, I think it's in district, and if it's before or after 6 o'clock, that's pretty easy.
We're talking about, the drive home, sometimes there's only five, there may be more, so if it's five, you only need one. I mean, who makes that call?
The coach makes the call. It's a matter of time. Everybody on the bus back to the high school, or a parent will come to a coach and say, "Can I take my child home?" And some coaches will say yes, and some will say no. So the coach usually is in that supervisor position, makes the call. Who has to ride the bus from the event back to the school?
And whether or not
if you're playing at Crimson Cliffs, most kids take their own car. Is that
there's hardly anybody on the bus.
There's probably anybody, nobody that would ride the bus.
Any of the in-district ones. Hurricane might be a little harder.
Hurricane's a little different.
Yeah, because it's a little bit longer, but still, they mostly travel home.
So do we, the simplicity of having two on a bus is nice. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to ponder it. We don't have to torture it. Okay. Is it so unwieldy?
Well,
in some of these cases, where there's is it so unwieldy, so difficult to administer that we want to have exceptions?
Well, I think the concern. First of all, when we have these buses that are going within district, that's the part we're talking about as an exception. I mean, not only do we have a supervisor that could be on the bus for a short trip within the district, but we also have three cameras on the bus that are monitoring what's going on. And so the real challenge is it necessary to have somebody get on a bus when most of the time they have their car, somebody's going to have a car at the location they're currently at because it's like a game. It'd be maybe they come back at 9 o'clock. And in that case, then what they're concerned with is this extra effort that they have to get two people on the bus when there may only be five kids on the bus to be in compliance with policy. The biggest concern I have is that if that happens and people just say, this is nonsense, why do we have to have two people on the bus? And then we don't follow the policy. That's a bigger problem. So the idea was, is let's make it clear, if that's a reasonable exception and you feel it's reasonable, we have the cameras and we have a supervisor on the bus, then would it be reasonable under those circumstances, grade 8 through 12, within the district to just have one supervisor? And our feeling this morning was that seems reasonable. That seems the right approach. Well,
I also looked at it again, and it's like it's before 6 o'clock. So
if
it's after 6 o'clock.
No. Yeah, there's actually a proposal to eliminate.
No, they have one before. If it's before, they can have one. If it's after 6 o'clock, even if it's in district.
No, that's not
what I'm saying. Yeah. Just wanting to eliminate that.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that's a proposal for a modification
to option A.
Yeah, would it be removing the time frames?
Yeah.
I would say
so. That's the discussion here before you.
Any instances that we have on bus because of we're having to revisit this policy are happening at night on trips that are longer than in district. Like, without exception, that's when the challenges come.
Yeah.
I would say we've probably never had one incident where you're driving in district.
I imagine, because never say never, there could have
been
could somebody do something?
We could ask Craig, he's been here forever.
Yeah. But the biggest issue, Dave, you're right. I mean, 99.9% of the time, it's the longer trips is where we're having a problem. And it's not every time by any means, it's just that.
Well, it's rare, but
that's when it happens.
That's what we're proving.
Everyone that has happened in the past has been that kind of situation.
Well, so are we comfortable with having a few exceptions?
You could put the two, but really, your battle is
hard. Are we comfortable with having a few exceptions, or we want to be strict with the two?
I mean, there's sometimes you got one or two kids on those buses. I've seen that when I've been principal. I've seen them. I've been out there at the end, and there's those few kids going, and we put one advisor on a bus. They drive 10 minutes.
So you as administrators are comfortable with having a few common sense exceptions?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually more supervision than we would have on to and from school transportation in many cases. So one supervisor on a bus for a short duration seems sufficient, even removing the after hours.
But you're talking about just in district.
And the proposal, the modification would be to remove the time frames.
So you'd modify 3.3.4 to just take that 6 o'clock out.
And 5.
And then delete 3.3.5, correct?
Well, no. Well, that's right. I mean, really, it's just the opposite. Trips within the boundaries may have one, so in reality, everything else would have two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably how we'd modify it in the end.
Except a suburban with...
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be an easy way to say it.
Yeah.
Right?
We would have to get two paragraphs.
Right.
Yeah.
See, and I don't like the outside the district after 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like if they're going to get outside the district and come before 6, are we saying they're not going to have?
Oh, no. Anything outside the district,
okay.
That's the way it changed.
Clear
no. Yeah, that came up from this morning's discussion.
Yeah.
Is the cameras in the bus?
Do you want to just re-clarify?
Yeah. So we're not saying this isn't an action item now.
Right.
Do the cameras in the bus pick up at night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're infrared.
They get everything.
Oh. Surprisingly, the kids don't really realize it.
You would be amazed if you watch those
crystal clear.
Yes.
It's no different than sitting in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazingly clear.
I realize it's a fog right
here. Yeah, there's a little bit, but you can see very well.
And the words on the street, they know that.
So what we would say...
I'll bet they do now.
Is we would eliminate this to say, let me just read it the way I think it would be said in policy. Grade 8 through 12 activity trips within the boundaries of the school district may be supervised with one adult instructor, coach, or activity advisor. All others must have two.
We could do either. It's just hard when you get through with these activities to with a few kids, say five or less, which is often the case, to try and get two people. I mean, let's say one kid drives, you know, the bus, or rides the bus. They're going to put two advisors on. It's just, it's for minutes. It's not long at all. And they're very few kids that ride those buses.
You know, I think the exception could be handled with some training, because what if all of a sudden you show up and there's 25 or 30 kids on a bus? You can use your discretion. This isn't to say you can't add a second supervisor.
We ask principals to do that, ask coaches to do that. Be smart. It's just rare.
So
that happens.
And that was for the public comment space, right?
Yeah.
Next. It would be nice if coaches and those who are actually doing this on a weekly basis.
We spoke with them.
So they've all commented.
I sent this to all the activity directors.
Yeah. Okay.
This policy with option A and B.
Okay.
Deal with this all the time. It's just what's your choices. But policies, when you put it in, that's, I agree with Lyle, you know, be willing to then stand by that policy and make sure that we follow. So if you put two, that's, there will be times that will be, you'll put us in a tough spot in occasion to do that, but it can be done because that would be policy.
Any other questions?
Will this be an action at our next meeting?
It will.
Okay.
Yes, on the 14th.
Okay, we anticipated there'd be some discussion. I figured it'd be best to do it now. So.
Okay,
thank you.
It's interesting because I've had someone complain to me that riding home on the bus after school, there's been problems. And so if you do it for everything, you'd have to include coming home from school. So. It makes more sense.
It's more consistent to do like this.
I think
we've made
more school than you
have.
We've made big adjustments in the areas where we've had the concerns with the superintendent and the TV. That's our biggest area of concern.
Okay. Thanks, Lyle, for your update on those. Our next agenda item is the COVID update superintendent.
Yeah, and others can pitch in or chime in if you've got comments. How we continue to deal, you know, as responsibly as we can with COVID. You know, it's still there. Everybody wished it would have been different this year. We put it to bed, but because of the way it is, we continue to take precautions. We watch our numbers closely. The numbers have been just a fraction of a percent still of students. We safeguard faculty, some that are more concerned, to work with the HR department, with Lyle and his staff to make sure that they feel safe. We work with the Teachers Association, and so far so good. We've been able to, you know, continue to stay in school. We've shut nothing down. All the activities have continued. We've had no flare-ups. When we say that, do we have cases on a continual basis? Pretty consistent? Yes. But again, they're a fraction of 1%, and we just feel that responsibly we're keeping kids in school and looking for ways to do that. And so we continue to do well. I would just add that the community continues to be very supportive in what we're doing. You know, it's not without some concern by some parents, not without some concern by some staff. We meet regularly with the county officials, and when I say that, mayors, county commissioners, IHC representatives, Dr. Blanchard of the Public Health Department, and we feel very good about where we are in light of that. You know, there's concerns about mandates and different things, but at this point, none of those are pressing us, and we'll continue as we are. Our goal is to keep kids in school and keep activities going because they perform best when they're in school academically and socially. It's for their well-being. So our goal continues to be to keep kids in school. Our test scores look good. We've closed that gap from spring of 20. There was definitely a gap that was created when those kids went online. we're more adept at teaching kids online now than we've ever been, and we're more prepared if we had to do that, but we also know that kids don't do as well. So that's our goal. We continue to monitor things closely, work with people who need exceptions made, both students and staff. We've had a few circumstances and situations come up, and we've had to be a little more creative, but for the most part, we've been able to keep everybody working, everybody in school. So I don't know that there's any different update from anybody on that. That's just where we're at. We're grateful. We've been able to keep doing what we've done and just appreciate everybody's support. That's it. That's really nice. And then we just, like I say, we meet regularly, not only as a staff, but with community people, about twice a month still, every other week. And sometimes communicate more often than that with Dr. Blodgett, who's our public health director. Work with the superintendents all throughout the state, but especially those in what we call the UC region, which is the districts under Dr. Blodgett. And we're moving along very well. We just feel we're in a good spot.
Great. Thank
you. Continues.
Thanks. Okay, mm-hmm. Closed session. I think we're ready to move into closed session. So
I'll make the motion to move into closed session.
Perfect. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Lorraine. So a motion by Dave and a second by Lorraine. All in favor of moving into closed session? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.